Are we starting? Usama? Are you ready? Here we go.
Revealing the truth about Islam.
The show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam.
Exposing the life of Muhammad. Exposing the errors in the Quran.
It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dekdag.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Today is January the 8th of the year of our Lord 2022. It is 2022, second broadcast for that year. And it is my joy to have you with me, my wonderful producer and co-host, Christy Johnston, from the state of Mississippi, and Brother Paul from the state of, I don't know where, I think it's New York.
New York State.
Yes, sir.
Libland.
I was there a few weeks ago, but I didn't have a chance to meet with you because, believe it or not, I was super busy between New Jersey and Maryland.
Well, that's at least 600 miles from me.
I know, but that is good.
Next that's time, close for you, Usama, though.
No, that's not That's
quick drive.
Yeah.
Yes. If it is less than 17 hours, then it's fine. I can make it one day, no problem. Anyway, how are you guys doing?
Hey, Usama, I'm doing great. It's been a hectic start to the year, as we talked about, but, you know, I'm looking forward to a lot of good things this year, and hopefully we are going to continue to enlighten people about Islam and maybe we'll see some people actually getting out there and speaking up and asking the questions of our school systems, which many of them are now, but now we can add something else they really need to address.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, we're glad to have with us Brother Paul. He is ex-school teacher. Because he finished his years of working with all our wonderful children and perhaps some of your grandchildren who were in his classes. And 20-some years of teaching, that's a long year, years of hard work, and appreciate your sacrifices for doing that job. I don't believe a school teacher is an easy job. I don't think you actually get paid enough for doing that work. And I'm sorry for all the abuse you've been through, because you did not enjoy the liberty and the freedom which we have in America as a school teacher for you to just, hey, open your heart and share whatever truth you believe in with your students. Sadly, the lies was able to be taught and you cannot expose it while you're teaching, and the truth cannot be told, because then you're going to lose your job and lose this great opportunity. Brother Paul,
there's things you can and can't do, and you have to ride the fence, unfortunately. I hate the fence, and I usually get myself in trouble because I couldn't handle it. But
yeah.
God is good. He's on the throne, and that's I just got to say that's the only thing we have to think about. God is good, and He's on the throne, and everything else is hunky dory
exactly.
After that.
Exactly.
Paul, do you feel like your retirement out of the system came at just the right time? Especially since you're in New York State, what's going on there?
I retired too early, so financially I'm not set.
Oh, I didn't mean financially. I went through the same thing.
I couldn't do another day of Zoom. I couldn't do another day of Zooming.
Yeah.
I find ethical issues with this. There are schools, districts in my state that the teachers are complaining that the kids could give them COVID, yet there's no documented cases of that happening in New York State. Not even one. But the teachers are, unions are crying. I went to Albany this past week. I was in Albany Wednesday, and
mm-hmm.
to protest that they're trying to force our children to get a jab to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
This is highly dangerous for the children. So I'm doing what I can as a retired educator. I'm doing what I can to get the truth out, and that means standing up locally as well.
I'm glad you're doing that, and I'm glad you you brought this up, because it, you know, I got forced into retirement because of Obamacare. And I just share that because when I was working in hospice, they came out, and this is very relevant for what's happening now. When Obamacare came out and I was working in hospice, there was a huge change. They started talking about people having a right to end their life, and I began to be very uncomfortable. I was very pleased to deal with people who were dying of serious illness that could not be helped. But when they started literally kind of promoting assisted suicide or passive suicide for people, I knew I was done with that. And that's pretty much what forced me into retirement. I changed jobs for a very short time, but then found out, you know, social services, everything that I worked in other than being a chaplain, it's pervasive, all of this socialism,
yeah,
communism.
It's that. And it's creeping slowly, by the way, Christy, from the days of Obama and now with Biden. And I don't think we're going to have another Democrat president to be in this country. And I believe if we have another liberal, that'll be the end of America. No kidding. So you don't have to worry about anything because we're not able to talk about it. This is the reality. I have one experience with the union. Let's talk about union. A good, 27, 28 years ago, I did paint in a school, a government school, of course, Nobel, I can't remember the name of the town, a town in Florida. And I was called by another painter, said, hey, would you like to go work for the union? I said, what is union? Oh, it's a good job. You paint for the union and you'll have great time. Don't worry, just come join us. So he picked me up and we went to that day to work, and I was sick in my stomach because if you think about crime, let me say it again. If you think about crime in America, like a mafia days or whatever, it is worse than a mafia days. I saw the movie Father God, what do you call it? Godfather? Godfather.
The Godfather.
Godfather is much less than what I saw in that one day of union. To the point, we went to work. They're going to give me $14 an hour. That's 28 years ago. The best I got was at the time was $12 an hour, but they're gonna give me $14, and they ordered me not to work.
Yeah.
Take a break. Go to the bathroom. Go for a walk. You work too fast. Slow down. This same guy's going around the school to talk to the 40 painters, and all of them are walking around to tell us to slow down. I got sick and tired of it. I left the same night. The same night I decided to go, especially when I found out these good workers are enjoying it, that during the day they don't work at the school, and during the night they have girls in the hotel to sleep with and have a beer and alcohol. That's how they've been working there for weeks. And I'm not kidding you. The guy said to me, and I remember like yesterday, will you take the first shift or the second shift? I said, what are you talking about? He said, would you like to have the lady first or me first? I said, I'm a married man. He did not think there's anything wrong about it. So what? We're going to have fun here. And I walked out of that hotel that night. I didn't sleep. And I drove home, and that was the end of it. The boss wife was there. I said, please take me back to my town. That is the union war. It seemed to me bunch of thieves, bunch of garbage, bunch of liars, bunch of adulterers, bunch of alcoholics. And I'm sorry. It's only one day. There may be great union all over this country doing everything right. But what I saw is that one day, I hated something is called union, even though I know nothing about union, except I believe it was corrupted 28 years ago, and it's more corrupt today. So what I hear about the union, to me, it's the norm, because this country is going to the deep south in sin, if it is union or the politicians or the garbage liberal media. God help us. This is just my personal experience with the union, working one day as a painter in a school, where I did not work, actually. I felt so guilty that they give me the money. I took it and I felt bad about it. I didn't keep the money. Okay? That's how bad it is. But I didn't work worse than an hour in that day. because they kept forcing me not to work. God help us. If that is the work of the year in America, there's no future for America. Anyway, that is a story out of my life. It is 28 years ago, and I quit painting that 20 years ago, and I've been doing this ministry now for 20 years. As a matter of fact, 1 year before September 11th, that's when I quit all this. By the way, we got with us Brother Adam. Believe it or not, I want to hear his voice. He is the best of the best. He's the man sickest behind the screen. Adam, what are you?
Brother, you don't have to expose me, right? You don't have to tell everyone that I'm here.
How are you, brother?
I am doing very well, brother. Thank you. Praise Lord.
How is your ministry? How is your life? How is everything going on with you?
Amen. God is so good. Today I had a chat with a couple of people, and I had a almost 7 hours long live stream in Pakistan, India.
Seven hours? Tell this to Christy. She would kill me.
6 hours, 50 minutes. So 10 minutes less than 7 hours, brother.
Okay, that's good.
Good job.
And we were having...
Anybody got saved today?
Not really, but at least I had a chat with a couple of people. Yeah. One person I had a chat, Lukman, on my English channel as well the other day. I believe he is the guy who and I had very rough and heated discussions in the past, but this time around he came in very humble, very soft, so it seems like... Yeah. It was hitting him, and he asked some really nice questions. I gave him the answers. Let's pray for Lukman. And today I had another guy in my Pakistani channel who was a kid, 15 years old, according to him. And he was asking very nice questions, and he had a belief that Quran is scientifically accurate. So, and there is no contradiction. So I worked with him for almost an hour or so, hour and a half, 90 minutes, and God is good. Let's see how things move and progress. So please pray for these people.
Yes, we need to pray for them.
That the Lord will continue to bless you and use you. And I'm looking forward to next week. We'll do a podcast together, Urdu or Indonesian or French, whatever language you want to speak, man. Just set it up, and I'll be very glad and very proud to be with you in any session. Not more than 2-3 hours. Not 7 hours. I cannot talk to you.
Brother, you have a homework, right? You know that.
Yeah. I know. I'm working on it.
So once you complete your homework, let me know. We will open the live stream on that.
Absolutely. Lord.
And plus, there is another thing that you need to work with me, right? I gave you the presentation that you need to work on.
Which one?
Brother, come on. We spoke, but your voice was not good. Remember, your voice wasn't good, and I said, okay, let's do it afterwards. So there is a presentation. In your presentation.
I know what they're talking about. Abuja. Yes, I remember that. Lord's
word.
All right. Well, Adam, it's good to hear your voice and good to see your circle is shaking in the middle of our screen like that. I love this circle, black and hard in the middle. What do you go, target? I like your target, man.
It's beautiful. It's the target that I have on me. On Friday, the guy said he wants to kill me and stab me. And this guy was like, he wants to me to come and show him. I was like, dude, the day I come in front of you, I guarantee you won't be able to do anything. So you want to kill me? Try your best and ask your Allah to tell you where I live. So, yeah. So
Allah does not know. As a matter of fact, lots of people can help him, but Allah does not know. Allah needs lots of help.
Exactly, brother. And brother Paul, nice to see you. I have been listening to you in the past and in a couple of other channels as well. So good to finally see you and meet you. Praise Lord. Thank you so very much for your work, brother.
God is good. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. So, Christy, you have a few more minutes to share whatever you put on the Lord put on your heart before we move to our side. Go ahead, Christy.
Well, you had given me a couple of stories, and of course, as usual, there's tons of stories concerning the persecution that's going on around the world of Christians. So just touching base with the chaos that's erupting around the world, and many protests are going on. I mean, in Europe, around a number of different countries in Europe where people are protesting lockdowns and the like. But there's also stories of people who are reporting increased persecution against Christians in Muslim countries and others. So I had been watching a video today to just as a reminder of the things that Christians have gone through around the world. So for those who are unfamiliar with that, we have people being persecuted around the world, and it used to be that you could go online and find that information. Very hard to do it now, but in the past, story of the persecution out of Indonesia, and they were really slammed down when Obama was talking about the wonderful peace and love between Christians and Muslims in Indonesia. Mm-hmm. You know, he spent a lot of years in Indonesia and went to school there. So that kind of material is missing now. Try to find it on the internet. You can't. But current things that are going on, for example, there's a story of a Muslim husband who murdered his wife and children because they had become Christians. So Uganda has a terrible history. We're talking way back there under a very violent ruler called Idi Amin. Maybe Paul remembers him. I say Paul probably remembers him. And then everything kind of quieted down. But we're seeing again now that Christians who were being relatively unmolested in the last few years, we are seeing again the anger and persecution against Christians cropping up in Uganda. So Pakistani pastor sentenced to death for blasphemy against Islam. There in Nigeria, Fulani burned a believer to death, wounded four others. No, nothing is being said about it. Again, the media keeps quiet about all these things.
I tell you what, Christy, if you want the media to talk about anything, think about somebody kill a Muslim. It will be all over the media.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Some pastor or some priest do something immoral. It will be all over the media. But Christian persecuted, Christian being kidnapped, Christian being killed, Christian being burned, or I have Adam here, and I hope he's listening to me, because as you talk about the kidnapping, I know that Adam had a good couple of story about little children being kidnapped and fall in love with the Muslim grandpa and married them. Can you share with us one of these, Adam, if you don't mind, quickly?
Brother, why do you call it fall in love? That's the claim that they do. But anyhow, last time, I had at least three incidents that I showed on my own channel where 13 years old and 11 years old girl, Christian girl, was forced abducted from her home and married to a 45 years old and a 46 years old guy. And her parents were not allowed to go into the courtroom where she provided the testimony in which she said that she was in love with this 45 years old guy and she has accepted Islam willfully. So brother, this is how it happens in Pakistan, according to the Dawn News, which is the biggest news channel of Pakistan, Muslim Pakistani news channel of Pakistan. According to the news report of Dawn and bbc.co.pk Pakistan report, more than 600 children, girls under the age of 16, are forcefully abducted and married to Muslim men every year. Brother, this is every year. More than 600 Christian baby girls are forced married and abducted in Pakistan every year. That's the sad reality.
And here's the truth, Adam. I wonder, does these wonderful, loving, good Muslim husbands who are kidnapping and raping little girls feel good about it? I mean, imagine with me, what kind of people are these? What kind of savage animals are these to do that to little children against their will, against the will of their parents? Is this something really make you proud of your Allah, proud of your Muhammad, proud of your Quran, proud of your Islam? Is that what it is?
If you convert just one person to Islam, mashallah, you have bought a huge reward to go into Jannah, brother.
Amen.
You know that.
Amen. Allah is Islam.
I don't know if everybody understands that the majority of what Adam's talking about have been reported as, these are school-age girls we're talking about. I mean, I know that Usama said little girls, but usually they're taken on their way home from school or to school. And
that is correct.
I read a good many of them. And you know, it's also should be known that it is the forced conversion is stated against the law in Pakistan, but they don't prosecute them.
The girls aren't going to say something. Sorry. The girls, when you force a girl, okay, here's the sad reality. I abduct a girl of 13 years of age. Christians are minorities in Pakistan. They are already called with the name Chude, which simply means S-H-I-D. So they're already very persecuted. They literally have no voice, number one. Number two, now, the girl that you force abducted and you are raping her in your home for over a month before the court has actually given you the date. By the way, the month or 6 week is the lowest, smallest amount of time that you will get a court date if you have some kind of finances and power behind you to make that happen. So in 6 weeks, and otherwise it will be like 3 months to 6 months, okay? Very simple. The smallest that I have seen is 6 weeks, okay? So by the time you take the girl to the court and her parents are not allowed to enter into the court, you have already forced her to such an extent that if you won't say what we are asking you to say, you have other sisters and brothers and you have your parents. Do you want them alive or do you want them dead? Brother, how hard it is to manipulate a 13-year-old girl when she's already abducted by you and you are not even just raping her, but also molesting her, keeping her in the room and locking her up. How hard it is to do that.
Over.
Yeah, that's the point. You know, these girls are intimidated and fearful of the consequences of even, you know, telling the truth. So they are going to say things that make no sense. To protect their family members or just to protect themselves.
Let me give you a reversal of that. In Pakistan, you as a Muslim cannot reject Islam if you are under 18. So as a Pakistani Muslim, unless you are 18, you cannot reject Islam. Sorry, you cannot reject Islam. If over 18, you reject Islam, what you have to do is you will have to go into the court, okay, and you will have to tell them why you rejected Islam. Okay?
Wow.
So I can accuse you of blasphemy.
Exactly, because if you will say something, anything close to the lines which could blaspheme against supposed prophet of Islam, you will be put into jail to up to 3 years. And if you would say something more, you will be hanged till death. This is the Act of Pakistan 285, put to jail by using verbal or physical gestures which could intentionally or unintentionally hurt the feelings of the Muslimin. That's the Act of Pakistan 35. Can you please explain to me feelings of a Muslim hurting the feeling of the Muslim?
Yeah. Our element in there. When this is published, it is the crowds of Muslims that will kill you on your way home from the prison.
Oh, yes. So now let's take the second one. Now, this is the hurt the feeling of the Muslim. Very small, three years imprisonment. Now, if you literally said something openly, bluntly, for example, Muhammad is a false prophet. He is a pedophile. Now, that takes you to the Act of Pakistan 295C, not 285, but rather 295C, which the law of court of law, it will held by only Muslim judges, that's written in the Penal Code of Pakistan, only Muslim judges will judge it, and the penalty is hang till death.
Lord.
And if Muslim mobs will think that, oh, the case is going against us, 80% of these type of blasphemy criminals, supposed criminals, are killed during going to the court or during after the movement out of the court. That's what Brother Paul is mentioning here. 80% or 85% are killed on their ways or out of the way in the court. That's absolutely true.
So persecution is real. Christians are persecuted. And Muslims who are converting to Christ or leaving Islam are persecuted. And this is a reality which the West does not know, or they will never hear about on their media, liberal media, or even, because I never heard on Fox News, really, what Christians go through. I never heard on any of these so-called conservative channels in America the real picture of how Muslims are treating Christians in the Muslim world. If it's Pakistan or Saudi Arabia, if it's Egypt or Morocco, or Syria, or Lebanon, or any of these places, or Indonesia. Or, I mean, literally, we do not know what is going on in the Muslim world, from the Muslims to the Christians, or from the Muslims to the Muslims who left Islam, because persecution is real, and it's happening everywhere. Hundreds, we can say thousands, of young girls are being kidnapped all over the 57 Muslim countries, all over the world, every year, and no one knows, and no one cares in the West. We're just happy today in America to send the money to the Taliban, which we used to kill in the last 20 years. Now we're giving them the money they need to control the life out of the people of Afghanistan and everywhere else in the Muslim world.
There was a report today. I don't have any reason to doubt it. I don't know. I can't remember if it was on One American News or one of the other conservative internet channels I watched. But that 360 million Christians around the world are now in a position to be suffering under persecution in various countries. So this has never happened in history before that we've had this many people who are Christians being persecuted to this extent. So this kind of reminds us that biblical prophecy tells us that persecution against Christians and Jews would increase in the end time. So sure, we are really seeing this just explode. And look at what's happening in America as well. So we need to be mindful. You know, Usama, you tried many times to get on Sean Hannity's program on Fox News. You spoke with him many times. And you know what? Conservative as Fox was at the time, which I doubt their conservatism now, but at the time, you couldn't get on.
Yeah. I was blessed to have one year, I spoke with Sean Hannity on his show. I got, I believe, 11 or 12 times.
On the radio, not on the TV.
And he made the comment. He heard the criticism that you will have you on TV show, but then he did not.
Yeah.
And talking to the producer, and I thought, there's a chance. I thought I talked to a good friend of mine, and a good friend of his is actually one of his lawyers, and mm-hmm. he told me the reality. He cannot have me on the show because of fear.
Yeah.
Because of he have children and whatever family situation there, he cannot have me. I said, wait a minute. There less than 1% Muslims in America, as they claim. That was, of course, years ago.
Yeah.
A good 12 years ago. Why we're afraid of the Muslims? Why we're afraid of our bosses in America to speak the truth about Islam? Well, guess what? Now it's even worse. So if I could be on Trump Medity Show 10 years ago, now the chance is slimmer.
That's my point. We tried really hard to get the conservative media and even churches to address this issue. Paul, I know you know what I'm talking about. And it was like, oh, yeah, we don't have a problem with Muslims. Then it was, well, there are a few Muslims in our community. We don't want to offend them. Then it goes the next step. Wow, there's a lot of Muslims around, and we just need to keep quiet so they don't attack us.
No. The preacher did not tell me we need to keep quiet. We have so many people in our community are Muslims, and we just need to love them.
Yeah, but
love them is a big lie from the bottom of hell. You're not loving them. You're hating them.
Yes.
When you have Muslims in your community and you don't teach them the truth about Islam and share the love of Christ with them, you don't love them. You're
That's
loving
right.
them for hell, as I have made the statement so many times. You're not loving the Muslims to keep it zip. The sin of silence of not telling them about their laws, they're following a false prophet, savage cult, and they needed the Savior Jesus. If you cannot do that, don't you dare tell me you love the Muslims. You hate the Muslims. You're just coward, and you don't want to tell the truth about Islam to the Muslims.
Yeah, I believe that's true. But the point I'm making is they keep silent until then they're fearful. So, you know, the truth is the truth. It isn't going to change because of how the Muslims are. The truth will stay the same. And the only hope is that we share the gospel. And I understand why people are confused, because this truth never got into the Christian church in a wide variety of churches. It should have been everywhere. A few churches spoke out about it, but very few.
Yes. Anything else, Brother Paul, you'd like to share, or Brother Adam, you'd like to share?
There's another sad article out this week about our illustrious dementia-ridden president who has possibly helped finance Hamas rocket attacks on Israel. It was written by Daniel Greenfield. And if you're not keeping up on the news, Biden released, what was it, $70 million to Iran.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful.
And they're actually looking, there's research being done right now to discover if some of the 4,300 rockets launched after that if they had come from Iran and had been somehow financed by that. Believe me, today it's possible for them to track that money.
And will they?
So our government is now responsible for terrorist acts against Israel.
Sure.
That's sickening.
Hey, but it's okay because as Biden said, there's a lot of good things to look forward to in 2020.
Here we go.
He said that a couple days ago.
Well, so far the liberals do not think that anything went wrong in 2021. And since everything is going in the right track.
They brought 100,000 Muslims here. They didn't get the clue. Or, you know, the planned debacle in Afghanistan, they didn't get the clue.
No. And 22 is going to even be better, which means it's going to be even worse than what we have seen in 2021.
Well,
God help us. That's my prayer. My heart desire is for the Christian America to come back to God, asking him to be the Lord, not just the Savior, but the Lord of their life. And we may have a revival in America, because the problem in America is so big, so deep, it cannot be fixed by politicians. It needed Jesus. It needed the work of the Holy Spirit. It needs a miracle from God the Father, that otherwise this country will never be fixed. It will be the great Titanic under the water in the middle of the ocean.
You know, Usama, I was talking about that rally, the renewal, was a follow-up to the other one they held in D.C. But, you know, the point is exactly what you're saying. And I believe that, and Mike Lindell on Frank speech and Lindell TV has talked about this a lot. This is either going to be the greatest revival that has ever happened in America, or America will be over. We only have those two choices. We have seen
how much the devil can do in 7 months.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the first 11 months of his presidency. The first 6 or 7 months We've seen how much damage happened in America and the strength of this country worldwide. And if we go like that for one more year, I don't think we're going to have America. Even if Mr. Trump took the White House in 2022, in the end of 2022, he's not going to fix it. If we continue the same line and we continue going to this the same deeper in the same level where we're going right now, trust me, Trump cannot fix America or any other president can fix America.
I don't think Trump can fix America right now because we are being exposed to the really deep roots of evil in the country. And I'm talking about pedophilia that is not just happening with Muslims. It's being tolerated with Muslims because it's going on in other places in the United States in very powerful circles in the political realm. We also know that our financial situation is chaotic and literally without God's intervention, I don't think any person can fix it. I would certainly like to see Trump president again, but he is a human being and subject to make mistakes too. But God help him and God bless our country. We need the wisdom of God on our leaders, and we don't have it right now.
Let's take a quick break if you guys don't mind. And if something else important you want to talk about, feel free to do so. Otherwise, we're going to move on to lies in our textbooks. This is a long presentation. It took us a couple of years to cover it.
I know, and you gave me two articles, and I started on them, and I didn't get to share it.
If you want to summarize something quickly,
I'm going to do it quickly. There is an article about the disappearance. Headline is Disappearance of Another Coptic Christian Girl Underscores Egypt's Abysmal Record. This story is about a 15-year-old girl who disappeared on her way to a private tutoring session. The family had pleaded with the police to look for her. They wanted their daughter back, and there was a protest. Now, these protests are probably rather uncommon in Egypt, but they were demanding this child be returned home and were trying to draw attention to her case.
If they would come with the same story that she fell in love with a Muslim man and she fell in love with Muhammad.
Yes, but if you want me to finish this quickly, you can't interject.
Right. Yes, ma'am.
The point is, the protesters who came out, many of them were family members, and they put these 22 Christian protesters into prison. So we know that this girl, what she's being subjected to, and this family who were trying to speak up about the abuse that was going on were now also being abused and subjected to imprisonment. We don't know what's going to happen to them.
They know how to shut us down, Chris.
That's
the
right.
The government and the Muslim Brotherhood, they know how to shut us down. So you better, it seemed to me like it's like a movie. It's like watching black and white old movie. Gunsmoke movie, because that's what is happening. They kidnap, they force their kidnap to continue, and anybody rejected will be in jail and in prison, and persecution will be even bigger and bigger. So you better keep your mouth shut. So what? You lost a daughter. Big deal. That's exactly what's happening in Egypt, and that's exactly what's happening in every other Muslim country around the world.
Now, the other story that you gave me, I think we should save because it is full of references to the Quran and a lot of information in that article probably should be shared at a time when we have more time to do it. It is about the hatred of the Christian cross. So just real quickly, Usama, tell them about the cross and what that means in how it's received in a Muslim country.
Well, Muslims do not love the cross. Muslims hate the cross because the devil, Satan, Allah, hates the cross. So, I have not got into depth in this article. I just started reading about it, and I decided to give it to you, Christy. But I really, as you said, I believe we should have this in a subject night some other time, maybe next week, if you don't mind. But It is the reality of the hatred to the truth. You know what? I always say that Muslims, like atheists in America, they hate the cross. Well, atheists do not believe in the cross. They don't believe Jesus is on the cross. They don't believe Jesus is God. And so is Muslims. Why do you hate the sign of the cross or the structure of the cross? These two pieces of wood, these two pieces of wood make you so mad, make you so upset, as if it is some real thing in it. If it's a fake, if it's a fraud, what's wrong with you? Leave it alone. No, they hate the cross because of the truth, which is in the cross. We'll take a break. We'll be back, Rose Williams, to continue with our study, revealing the truth about life in our textbooks.
For the last 1,400 years, Muslims worldwide have considered only one book to be the perfect, complete, and inspired word of Allah, the Quran. In fact, Muhammad claimed that his only miracle was the Quran itself. But is it a clear miracle of God, or is it just a confusing deception of man?
Over and over, Allah states through his prophets in the Quran that the Quran is a clear book, a very clear revelation, easy to understand. But is this true? Can a Muslim or any reader who read the Quran understand the truth about subjects as the creation, the life of the prophet, or even the life of Jesus?
Scattered throughout the Quran, Muhammad records bits and pieces of information about famous biblical characters such as Adam, Abraham, Moses, David, Jonah, and even Noah. But this information is disconnected and fragmentary.
Well, I apologize. We have a problem with my streaming. I may have to change the internet here to another one. But, and Chris, here she is back.
You cut me off.
I apologize, guys, but I'm going to do my best to switch the internet. Perhaps I'll have a better internet. Can you hear me good now?
Can hear you
yes,
now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Go ahead, guys. You can continue chatting a little bit until I switch the internet and I'll come back.
All right.
Well, we can, I don't know if we want to go into a topic or not, but this topic that Usama's covering is near and dear to my heart. I've been working on this for the past 10 years, I think, now. Pointing out, I mean, it's just shocking to me. When I started doing research in Islam, I had no idea how much lies were in the textbooks. It never ceases to amaze me. I think every single person who actually watches this video should actually send a copy of your children's textbook, just copy, not the whole book, you don't have to do that, but send us a section either to Usama, you can send it to me or to Christy. Send us a copy of the section on Islam. And I say that because the stuff I find, it just never ceases to amaze me. And the thing I'm going to say, you know, Usama has heard me say, and Christy has heard me say, you can't blame the social studies teachers because they're the true generals.
Yeah.
They are not, it's not, your English teacher is an excellent specialist in English. Your science teacher is a specialist in your high school is a specialist in chemistry or a specialist in biologist or a specialist in physics, or they, you know, have multiples. Okay,
yeah.
Great. Your math teacher is an excellent math teacher because they went all the way through and they learned calc, and they communicate that. But your social studies teacher can't be expected to know all of history or all cultures or all religions. So it's a
really
it's a sorry statement, but that is what they have been doing. And the truth is, they can't know everything. And the textbooks, you're told to trust your textbooks.
Yep.
I taught for 20 years. I was a teacher aide for 9 years before that. The information in there, I still feel so ashamed that I didn't know how much was wrong.
Yes.
But when I started realizing, I had no idea. That's the thing that really gets me.
Yep.
I started to have a clue something was wrong because from when I was in high school, we were taught Islam was spread by the sword. Okay, that's when I graduated in 82. So by that point, we had already been taught Islam was spread by the sword. Someplace between 1982 and the 1990s, they took that away.
I believe it got worse, Brother Paul, after September 11th than before September 11th.
I agree.
Because they were planning about it a good 7-8 years before September 11th. We got the video to prove it. By the way, I switched my internet now, so I hope you guys can hear me even better.
Well,
right.
Fine.
Well, let's. Do you want to say anything, Christy, before I start my PowerPoint?
Well, no, I just was going to say we found this was really unbelievably bad when you look at what the textbooks were teaching about Islam, and that's why you decided to put the presentation together, Lies in the Textbooks. But it was so bad that literally we only picked a few examples of things, but it goes on and on and on. And yet that particular presentation, we could never get anyone to promote it, play it, or even tape it. It was just crazy.
Well, I would do my best to launch the PowerPoint. I don't know how it's going to look on the screen. And now we lost Adam. Adam was here a minute ago, and he's no longer here. So let me.
You can do it.
You can.
Share and take your PowerPoint. Turn your PowerPoint to F5 already.
I know. It's just I'm not sure if how it's going to look on the screen. But you tell me if you like it like that, we'll keep it. Do you like it like that?
That looks like it did before.
You
want
to go to full screen? I'm going to suggest go to full screen because they can see it better. And any print that you'll have on it, they'll be able to read.
Okay. You cannot see
full
screen right
now? No, I thought isn't this how we did it last week? I mean.
Yeah, it is. And just suggesting the other way, because what happens is if there's anything that's even close to small, that it's harder to see. That's what I've learned.
How about, let's see.
That works.
It looks okay right now as it is, because these slides don't have much on them.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys. Here is the last slide we worked on in our last program. So quickly, I'm going to repeat the two slides, and then we're going to look at our response. Okay?
Usama, people need to know, McGraw-Hill and Glencoe, what they do is they wine and dine your social studies teachers. And I'm not kidding. I've been in one of those meetings. They wine and dine them. In the hopes of getting you get a free meal at your school district when they're trying to get you to buy their books.
Sure.
We're talking at a A1 class restaurant. It's not cheap.
Exactly. And it's in every public school in America. I mean, literally, that is the biggest two publication publisher in this country.
Yeah.
So it's not like a small book in some school, not another school. That is in most schools in America. So what we're teaching here, it is what almost every child and every grandchild of yours are learning in this country.
Hey. I have this.
And your teachers have learned this too, because now they're teaching, many of them.
Sure.
Many Jews have immigrated to the Palestine Mandate, believing it to be their promised land.
And we got also this last one here.
The Zionists wanted the land of ancient Israel to be a home for the Jewish people.
Don't you love it? This is where we stopped in our last week. And now let me share my simple response to this propaganda, hogwash, and lies they teach our children in our public school about Palestine. As if Israel is just a small city in Palestine. Okay?
The state of Israel is not called Palestine.
The state of Israel is one thing and Palestine is another thing. Two separate things.
The name Israel predates the Roman name of Palestina by over 1,200 years.
Because you have to understand that the Roman did not name that land Palestine until 150 after Christ. You go 1,200 years before that, and that's when we found Israel, the true existing of the state of Israel. History. Hello? Symbol history. Read the Bible. Read other books. Not the garbage you teach our children in our public schools in these books.
UN granted Israel sovereign nation status in 1947.
We're going to talk about 47, 48, and 69 and 73, the three important wars which took place after 47 in our third session. Now, I told you last week, Lord willing, that I'm going to share with you the fact about that is that the land of Israel, the promised land of Israel, it is the only piece of land in planet Earth with two deeds. I challenge you, show me any other piece of land in planet Earth with two deeds. And what I love about the first deed is the biblical deed, which no one can argue with it. The second deed is from the Quran itself. Years ago, I went to Spokane, state of Oregon, and a lady met me in the church and said, "Oh, brother, you stop. My son-in-law, ex-son-in-law, he was already divorced from her daughter, hate the Israeli. He's the Palestinian. He hates the Jewish people. I wish you can talk with him. I wish you can share with him a little bit." I said, "I would love to." She gave me his number. I called him. We met, coffee shop in Seattle. That was in Seattle. No, that was actually in Oregon, not in Seattle. Seattle is state of Washington. We were in Oregon. I can't remember even what city in Oregon. Anyway, so we met and we have a good cup of coffee together. And I asked the question. I said, "Your mother-in-law or your ex-mother-in-law, she told me you hate Israel. Why do you hate the Jew?" He said, "Oh, Usama, you know, they're occupying our land. They're occupiers. They took our land." I said, "Wait a minute. I thought you're a Muslim." He said, "Of course I'm a Muslim." "And you believe in the Quran?" "Yes, I believe in the word of Allah, the Quran." I said, "How can you be a Muslim, believe in the Quran, and you tell me that the Jewish people are occupying their own land?" He said, "No, it's not their land. It is the land of the Palestinians." "Are you sure?" "Yes." I said, "What if I open the Quran and share with you from the Quran to prove to you that what you're saying is not Islamic? It's not true at all." He said, show me. So guess what? I opened the Quran. And as we read the Quran, that is the story in Quran chapter 5, the book of Al-Ma'idah, beginning from verse 20, as I'm going to be reading with you, I showed my friend, I explained to him that what I'm telling you from the word of Allah goes against everything you think about or you believe in about that land. Of course, the biblical story is in the book of Numbers. We're going to read a little bit about this later, chapter 13 and chapter 14. But Muhammad shortened the story in few verses and put in the Quran in a corrupt form. I'm going to tell you why it's corrupted, but even though it is corrupted, still the truths are in it. Listen to what Allah said in Quran chapter 5, verses 20 and down.
"And when Moses said to his people, 'Oh my people, remember the grace of Allah on you when he made prophets among you, and he made you king, and he gave you what he did not give anyone of the world. Oh my people, enter the holy land which Allah has prescribed for you, and do not turn away on your backs, so you will be turned back losers.'"
I'm not going to talk about every word in these sentences, but I'm going to only mention a few words. The first one is king. Notice here, Moses in the Quran speaking to the children of Israel, and he said what? "And he made you kings." And I always ask my dear Muslim friend, as I'm asking you right now, how many kings was there? How many kings was there in Moses' day? In Israel, the answer is zero. Notice in the Quran, it says kings, plural, which means three or more. But in reality, there was only one king in Moses' day. His name is Jehovah. God was the king over Israel. And the first king was ever appointed on Israel to be king is King Saul, who was appointed by Prophet Samuel. And Samuel was so upset, and God told Samuel, "Why are you upset? They are not rejecting you. They're rejecting me to be king over them." Gives them their desires, and he gives them Saul to be king. Second king is King David. Third king is King Solomon. And you can go on with the rest of the kings as they're written in the Bible. But between King Saul and Moses, a good 500 years, 460, 470 years. No way. Allah knows what he's talking about. Muhammad made a boo-boo when he said that Moses said he made the children of Israel kings in their land. Now, the second big mistake, as you see here, is there is the word holy land. "All my people, enter the holy land." Excuse me. What was the name of the land in the days of Moses? Was it called holy land? No. Why Moses says Holy Land? Oh, because in Muhammad days, they used to call that land Holy Land. So Muhammad hears the Jewish people say, hey, we're going to the Holy Land. Hears the Christians say, hey, we're going to the Holy Land. Where are you coming from? We came from a trip from the Holy Land. Until today, we still call it Holy Land. But in Moses' day, it was called the Promised Land. Not the Holy Land, but the Promised Land. And Muhammad made a big boo-boo by calling that land Holy Land, because it was never named Holy Land until our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ is born in that land to become a holy land. Let's continue with verse 22.
They said, O Moses, surely in it are powerful people, and surely we will not enter it until they come out of it. So if they come out of it, so surely we will enter. Two men among the fearers, Allah grace on them, said, enter on them the door. So when you enter it, so surely you will be victorious. And on Allah, so depends, if you were believers.
As he hears the story of Muhammad in the Quran, he thinks that the children of Israel were little boys and little girls who are playing with a little bit boy bigger than them. The language. Oh, Moses, surely in it are powerful people. If they will come out, then we'll get in. Are you kidding me? Where do we read that about that in the Bible? Anywhere? And that, was this the statement of all people or the spies? All the spies or only 10? Notice here, he's talking about the spies in verse 23. He said, two men. Now, I love it how Muhammad never gave us any details. Two men, the one in the middle, one of them tells the others, the one in the east tells the one in the west. Are you kidding me? What is two men? What is their names? Who are the rest of the men? How many of these men were sent as a spy? None of this, the book of Numbers tells the story, but not. And according to the Quran, Muhammad did not have a clue. But what I love about it when they said what? He said, enter on them the door. What door? Are you going inside a house from a door? Are you going to a city with a gate, and in the gate there's a door? What door? The Promised Land have a door? Are you kidding me? Yes, indeed. Allah and Muhammad are kidding you, my Muslim friends, because the story is copied from the Bible and it is corrupted. There is no doors, as we're going to see in the reading of the Bible. Listen to verse 24, 25, and 26.
They said, O Moses, surely we will never enter it as long as they are in it. So go, you and your Lord. So engage in war. Surely we are sitting down right here. He said, my Lord, surely I do not own anything except myself and my brother. So separate between us and the transgressing people. He said, so surely it is forbidden to them 40 years. They will be lost on the earth. So do not grieve on the transgressing people.
Once again, little girls and little boys, we're not going anywhere. We're going to sit right here. Here we're going to sit. You, Allah, you, Moses, go and fight. And if you win, we'll get it. Are you kidding me? Yes, that is the language of the Quran. That is how Muhammad destroyed the biblical account. But the beauty of it, Allah did not say, oh, since he did not believe, it's forbidden forever. No, he said it's forbidden for how long? For 40 years. What happened in the year 41? They went to the Promised Land, and they took the Promised Land. Who is telling the story here? I was not reading to you the Torah. I was not reading to you the Book of Numbers. I was reading to you Allah's word in the Quran. It is the Promised Land given to the children of Israel, and they took it at the year 41. That is obviously a few months after Moses died. They have the right to live in their land because the earth is Allah, as Muhammad said, or Muslim believe, and Muslims have the right to take it as they wish. As they wish. Now, do you have any question, Brother Paul, Sister Christy, before we move on to the next session?
I'm good.
I'm still trying to figure out how this Allah, but he talks about kings and he goes backwards in time and talks about the time before it's even time for them to go enter Israel. He's a little confused.
It is Quran, my friend. It is the Quran. Go ahead, Christy.
Well, no, I think when we look at the way that the story's told, it's like somebody told him about this, and he's just adding any kind of details
makes sense
that he can think of.
Yes.
It's just
yes.
ridiculous.
Now, I hate to say that most of our school teachers who have been teaching these lies since they were written for the last, 14, 15 years, they have no idea how to answer that question. Who are the original people of the land? I'm not kidding you. Unless you are a Christian and you have read the Bible, you will not be able to answer that question. Most of them will tell you it's the Palestinians. They are the people who are there. Hello? That's why we call it Palestine. That's why Israel is a small town in Palestine. And Jesus was a Palestinian. Exactly. 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 Now, when I take you to that verse in Genesis chapter 15, in these four verses, we learn about the people, the original people of the promised land. I want you to listen carefully to their names, because there is one name is not mentioned there. Okay? There's one name is not mentioned there. So here we go.
On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites.
Yes, what name we did not hear, guys? The Philistinites. Yeah. Philistinians were not there. These are the original people. God spoke with Abram, and Abram's name was Abram because he did not even have a son. He was not blessed to be Abraham, to have Ishmael, and to have Isaac, and to have all the children of the other concubines, like the children of Keturah, Genesis 25. Abram, without any children, God said, I will give you that land. God is the owner of the earth. By the way, God made the earth. He can give it to whomever he wishes. And nobody can argue with him. So God said, this land from the great river of Euphrates all the way to the great river of Egypt, the entire land of north, which by the way, all taken by Abraham's children, the Ishmaelites and the Jewish descendants of Abraham through Jacob and his sons and great-grandsons. Now, all the names of the people, the original people, are mentioned here in that passage. The one that does not exist, as I said earlier, is the first thing. Now, let's read the story a little bit deeper. A little bit deeper. If God gave this land to the descendant of Abraham, which he did not have any yet, why God have to wait 430 years to fulfill the promise? Does it make any sense? Yes, it does make any sense. God is patient. God is the God of many chances. And he gave these original people, which we just mentioned their names, for the Philistines were not any of them. He gave them 400 plus years to repent, to do what is right. Because otherwise, the punishment is coming. What is the punishment? It is their destruction. They will be all killed by who? By the descendants of Abram, who became Abraham. His great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren, 430 years later, will come to take that land if the people did not do what is right. Which people? The original people. Here we go. Listen carefully.
And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom you shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full.
You got the point, my friend? Here's the truth. These people are sinners. The Amorites, that's big name for all of them, because that's the biggest group among them, they're sinners. And when their sin is full, I will punish them for their sin. God waited on the Amorites for 430 years, and that's when Moses came out of Egypt, and obviously the land he's talking about here, where the children of Israel will be afflicted, are the land of Egypt, my home country. And when they left Egypt, they did not leave with empty hands. They got all the gold, all the silver, they got all the riches of Egypt, literally. They stole everything out of us, we gave it to them, just we need them out of our country, And you need to go read the Exodus accounts. You know exactly why this took place. We're just happy to let them get out of our country because we're about to lose everything we got. Every house in Egypt have a debt. And it was the judgment of God on us because our Pharaoh was stubborn. He refused to let them go, not once, not twice, not five times, but 10 times. And the 10 times we begged them, please get out. Take our gold, take our salt, take everything you want. And that's exactly to fulfill the promise of God to Abram in Genesis 15, which we just reading here in front of your eyes. Now let's go to the book of Numbers. That is now in Moses' days, we're no longer with the promises of God to Abram, but it is the time to fulfill that promise of God to Abram.
And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them.
You know, we know the names of the 12 tribes, and we know the names of the 12 men who represent the 12 tribes. Muhammad mentioned the Quran, two men among 4 million people. Are you out of your mind? No, 2 men of the 12, but Muhammad does not know the 12. Muhammad does not name the name of this two. He has said two of them said, enter on them the door. Yes, indeed. Enter the door. Yes. Knock at the door first. Maybe they can open the door for you so you can get in. Have a cup of coffee or eat a dinner. Sound like a joke. Anyway, so we know the 12 men, and their names are mentioned in the book of Numbers, but I skipped it to get into the major part of the story.
Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said to them, go up this way into the south, and go up to the mountains, and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath.
Imagine with me. It's the Lord. The mountains and the valley and the rivers and all that, it have a door. Somehow you need to enter the door. It makes a lot of sense. I need a geography teacher to tell me, where can we put the door, Brother Paul?
I'm sorry?
I mean, we need a geography teacher to show us where can we put the door of Allah, the door of Muhammad in the Quran.
Well, see, now, if we're going to put a door someplace and they've already... I guess it'd be on that mountain before they cross the Jordan, maybe? I can't figure that out.
I agree with you. We should put a door there. Yeah, we should put a door
there. It'd be a very big door because you got to fit a million people coming through because that's about the size of the tribe by that point.
It's a comedy. Muhammad's Quran is a comedy. But Muslims don't think. They don't read. They don't ask. They memorize the Quran. And they make fun of us if we pronounce a word wrong or two wrong. And they say, you're not qualified to be a scholar of the Quran because you did not read the word right. Baba or Bab? Is it Baba? Door Bab is not the right word. It has to be Baba.
What does it actually mean? It's one thing to say it in another language. Do you actually understand it?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Let's continue with the story. Let's continue with the biblical account, the true story.
And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.
Oh, the men who went with Caleb and Joshua, the other 10 unbeliever spies, two said we can, that's Joshua and Caleb, and the men who went to said, no, we can't, because you are strong. Not all the people that's read on the Quran. Muhammad got it wrong. He got everything about Moses wrong. Let's continue. In chapter 14, verse 13.
Except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in.
This is God's promise. Only Joshua and Caleb, of all the people who are 20 years and older, will go to the promised land. Everybody else will be dead, as you're going to circle for 40 years. How long? It took them 40 days to spy the land? Well, guess what? For every day, 1 year delay, and here's the answer.
According to the number of days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, for each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall know my rejection.
So in the Quran, 40 years, it was forbidden, and in the year 41, they got the promised land, which Muhammad called in the Quran, Holy Land. In the Bible, it's 40 years. Also, it's Muhammad come up with the right number, amazingly, he come up with something right of the story. Number 40, okay, remember now. Number 40, one correct information.
But he definitely got that door wrong.
The door was, I'm telling you, man, we need to work on the door. We need to work on the door. Let me escape here to come back to you guys and see your face again, because when I go on the full screen, I cannot see anybody. All right, so this is the biblical account about the promised land and how we know for sure now, as I shared with you last week, and I said I'm going to group you the two D's from the Quran and from the Bible. It is the promised land given by God Almighty, or Holy Land given by Allah, the God of Muhammad, to the children of Israel. And they took it on the year 41 after they left Egypt. Any comment or questions from you, Christy, from Brother Paul, or anybody else?
I have a comment.
Sure, ma'am.
Will you please say hi to Tim again? Because he didn't hear you before.
Absolutely. Brother Tim, yes, ma'am. Brother Tim, I appreciate you. I love you, brother. I have been praying for you. I don't know if the Lord hear my prayer or hear Chris's prayer, or maybe all the other people who are praying for you as well. And we love you, and we wish you a happy, joyful, healthy new year. Hopefully, you will not see any more difficulty with your health this year. We know how the Lord performed many miracles in your life, and he gave us another year to live together. So we pray that this year will be a blessing to you and your beloved wife, and hopefully, someday I will see you in, when I get down to Mississippi face-to-face, we can have big lunch or big dinner together.
Thank you. He's watching.
No, Christy cannot come. Only me and you and your wife. Christy cannot.
That's all right. I've eaten before.
God is good. Good to see you, Brother Tim. Any other comments before we go to break? I'll try another commercial here. Hopefully it will work better. But if you guys want to say something, go ahead.
Fine. I'm going to be looking for that door for some time because I still don't see it.
Search,
I've never seen
it. It's hard to find.
The door, please. I need to know where we can get the door. All right. Drop that to that. Here we go.
The Straightway of Grace Ministry is excited to announce the creation of two new convenient materials to help you in your ministry to the Muslim community. Our first booklet is titled The Straightway to Eternal Life. How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman, maybe in an airport or on a bus or in your neighborhood, and you felt burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but you didn't know what to say or even where to begin? We have produced a small, convenient tract that will empower you to reach those lost in the deception of Islam. This 24-page mini booklet will share three facts. First, it seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted, using just the verses from the Quran. Secondly, it reveals convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the word of God due to an overwhelming number of errors and contradictions. Finally, it clearly presents the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Our second new booklet is...
I think we have a problem with my stream from my internet.
No.
Because the internet is bad, but in reality, I have heavy rain outside, and maybe that is...
Well, Usama, let me tell you... we're handing out those, what I have left over of those tracts.
Yes.
Every week at church, and we're distributing them to people to share with Muslims every week. So I want you to know those are powerful, powerful tracts, and I thank you for, you know, being used of God to write them.
Amen. By the way, I just printed 5,000 of the red and 5,000 of the green because I ran out of them, as I told you. And surprise, surprise, because Obaid is doing a great job, the paper is getting cheaper and cheaper, and the print costs less and less. So now I print them for double of what I used to deliver. So it used to cost me like 26, 27 cents a piece. Now it's 55, 56 a piece.
It's costing you double, right?
Oh, is that what I said? Oh, man. As long as Biden makes the paper cheap and the meat cheap and the bread cheap and the milk cheap. You know what's amazing? Yesterday, 2 days ago, I went to the grocery store and I got a gallon of milk and I got a container of the hazelnut creamer. So I want to pay, and with sincere heart, I got $10 out of my pocket, because normally it cost me like $7, $7.50 a pound. That's actually $11.48. I said, a minute, I'm paying $4 more? And so I couldn't believe it. Literally, $4 for two items. So $2 each is a gallon of milk. Now it's $5, and the gallon, the other container is literally $6. It's like, whoa, what's happening? So I told the young lady, I said, you know, since Biden came to power, everything is getting cheaper. So she smiled, and she said, no, actually, it's more money. I said, oh, it's more money. I said, you know why? She said, she didn't have an answer. And I figured out she's a liberal. So I said, you know, here's the deal. We can fix that. Next time, just keep voting for Biden, okay? Don't forget, vote for Democrat and Biden. And she said, we have a good day, sir. You have a good night, sir. Oh, I know for sure she's a Democrat. So before I leave the store, I have to make one more statement. And I said, you know, here's the problem. Conservatives are not speaking the truth about what's happening. They're just being nice and polite to the other people. And that's why the Democrats will continue to be stupid. And I let the store on left. I mean, I can't help it, Paul. I can't help it. If she's upset, have a good night, sir, or have a good one, sir, whatever she said, because I'm telling the truth. God help. All right. So here's the deal. I will go back to our presentation, because Nick Pesci is going to be so powerful, it will literally blow your mind. You guys are not going to believe it about the true history, which we ought to teach our children in our Bible school about the Palestinians. I told you before last week that when we talk about the Palestinians, we're not talking about the same Palestinians whom you see today in the Promised Land. There are two different Palestinians, but sadly, most people do not know that. Most people do not know that. They think a Palestinian is a Palestinian is a Palestinian, and this is the reality. No, it is not. So here we go. This wonderful sister by the name Andrea, she wrote an article. And I, by the way, I read plenty of articles before I chose that lady, and Christy helped, and many other people helped to do this presentation. And the reason I like her article, not because she's agree with me, she's in agreement with me, but because she's in agreement with the Bible. Let me say it again. There are prophecies written in the Bible. There are material written in the Bible about the Palestinians, the original Palestinians. And now, Sister Andrea make an article, and her article is supported with the Bible. Let every man be a liar, and the truth to be told from the Word of God. So if I share with you anytime in the future, anything, about anything, and it does not match what is written in the Holy Bible, I am wrong. I am dead wrong, and the Bible is true. And I don't care what Paul or Christy or Adam or anybody else will share with you about anything else, about any topic. In reality, if we're not matching to the Word of God, we're wrong and the Bible is true. Okay? Yes. So here we go. Let's listen about the original people, the original Palestinians, not the Palestinians who live in the land of Israel today, but the original Palestinians. I know you go to the Bible and you're going to read the word Palestinian all over the Old Testament. Are these the Muslim Arab Palestinians who went to the Promised Land in the year 641 after Christ? Do you hear that said? Are the Palestinians of the Bible, are the same Palestinians who invaded that land, which was belonged to the Christians and the Jews, in the year 641 AD after Christ? Of course not. You talk about David, you talk about Samson, you talk about the original Palestinians. This has nothing to do with the Arab Palestinians. Now let me share with you my evidence.
The land of origin of the Philistines, later identified as Philistine, is obscure. There are many theories. One of the theories links the Philistines to the Homer-Phygians, who were allies of Troy, and one group lived in Thrace, northeast of Greece. Those Philistines would have migrated south.
Notice the language. The original Palestinians We talk about entroy or thrace or grace. These people migrated, they traveled south. The Muslim Arab we have today in the Promised Land migrated or immigrated north. Those came from the north to the south. The Arab came from the south to the north. Two different people, two different groups. Okay? Let's continue.
Many would have gone further south to Crete. Furthermore, since many biblical references refer to the Philistines' origins as the island of Castor, and since many scholars identify Castor with Crete, the idea more widely accepted is that the Philistines were originally Cretans.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. The original Palestinians were not Arabs. They were Cretans. They actually, the one who continued to travel south to go to Crete. If you do not know where Crete is, it's far away from Saudi Arabia, okay? It is not near Saudi Arabia, trust me. Crete is a big island in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, and I'm going to show you the map in a minute. In the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. So as you kept traveling south, 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 they went to Crete, and from Crete, they ended in the Promised Land. They are known to be Castor people, or the Cretan people, okay? These are the original Palestinians. What do we learn about them? Jeremiah, Amos, Ezekiel, and I believe also Ezekiel and what another book?
20. Amos. Yeah, it's Ezekiel 25:16 and Ezekiel 16:7.
I know, but there's another book I don't have here. They mentioned one more book in the Bible, okay? If you ask me about it next week, maybe Lord's willing, I'll bring it to you. Now, here's what Jeremiah said. You have to understand now, Jeremiah is not like Muhammad. Jeremiah is a true prophet. How do I know Jeremiah is a true prophet? Because they give prophecies, and his prophecy was fulfilled. Not like Muhammad, who never gave any prophecy and nothing was fulfilled. Okay? That's a huge difference between Jeremiah and Muhammad. So Jeremiah was prophesying, telling us about what is to come in the future. And here's what he said in Jeremiah 47, verses 1 and 2.
The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet against the Philistines before Pharaoh attacked Gaza. Thus says the Lord, behold, waters rise out of the north and shall be an overflowing flood. They shall overflow the land and all that is in it, the city and those who dwell within it. Then the men shall cry, and all the inhabitants of the land shall wail.
Notice, water in the Bible is always judgment. The water comes north, the judgment of God comes from the north to the land. Against who? Against the Philistinians. Jeremiah is talking about Philistinians, a prophecy yet to come.
At the noise of the stamping of hooves of his strong horses, at the rushing of his chariots, at the rumbling of his wheels, the fathers will not look back for their children, lacking courage, because of the day that comes to plunder all the Philistines, to cut them off from Tyre and Sidon, every helper who remains. For the Lord shall plunder the Philistines, the remnant of the country of Captor.
Did you hear what the Bible said? The Philistines are the remnant of the country of Captor. And once again, Captor is not in Saudi Arabia. Trust me. I'll show you the map. That's a big island, in the Mediterranean Sea, north of the Promised Land. So, the Palestinians, Tyros, Sidon, and they are the remnant of the country of Captor. You cannot get anybody. I don't even need to read anymore, guys. I'm done with it. I'm done with the subject of who are the Palestinians, the original Palestinians, the real Palestinians, whom the Romans named the land after them 150 years after Christ. Not 640 years after Christ when the Arabs went to invade that land. No. The Palestinians, original Palestinians, have nothing to do with Islam, have nothing to do with Arabs. They're the northern people. They're the remnant of the country of Captor. Let's go to Amos chapter 9, verse 7. Amos chapter 9, verse 7. Listen.
Are you not like the people of Ethiopia to me, O children of Israel, says the Lord? Did I not bring up Israel from the land of Egypt, the Philistines from Captor, and the Syrians from Tyre?
Notice here, there's three different people who came from three different countries. Israel were taken out of Egypt. We know that through Moses, Exodus of Egypt. The Palestinians from Kafir. Okay? And the Syrian from Kir. K-I-R. Kir. That is exactly what the Bible says. And the Lord is the one speaking through Prophet Amos, another true prophet, not like Muhammad, who does not even know that there was no door for the promised land, whom he called it Holy Land. There was no door. Hey, Brother Paul, have you found a place for the door yet?
I don't know. It sounds like they need more than one door because you've got people coming from different directions now.
Man, oh man. Well, when you figure out a good door location, please let me know. We can go and install it.
How big should it be?
I'm not kidding. I can install a door in less than 15 minutes. Ask Brother Adam. Last time I visited him, I put a door in less than 5 minutes, man. But I did not put that.
I want to know if, I mean, the door needs a door frame so it can swing open. So.
Yeah, that's a good idea, too. That's a good idea.
Good with
the frame. All right. Let's leave Amos and go to Ezekiel. That's another prophet in the Bible. To learn about what is another name for the Palestinians.
Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will stretch out my hand against the Philistines, and I will cut off the Cherethites and destroy the remnant of the seacoast.
For radio people, I apologize. That's Ezekiel chapter 25, verse 16. Ezekiel chapter 25, verse 16. God Almighty says, He will destroy the remnant of the sea coast. The Palestinians are known in that passage here, Ezekiel 25:16, to be the remnant of the sea coast. I don't know how much sea coast we have in Saudi Arabia, Paul. Have you ever looked at the Saudi Arabia, how much water they have there?
Well, I don't know. How much water can you get in the desert?
Not so much at all. Not so much. They're not the sea coast people, trust me. Ezekiel chapter 26, verse 17. Ezekiel chapter 26, verse 17. Then what the Bible says.
And they will take up a lamentation for you and say to you, how you have perished, O inhabited by seafaring men, O renowned city, who was strong at sea, she and her inhabitants, who caused their terror to be on all her inhabitants.
Oh, amazing. The Palestinians here are known to be seafaring men. Seafaring men. There's not so much water in the Sahara, in the huge Sahara, in the huge desert of Saudi Arabia to have seafaring men there, okay? Trust me, I know this for a fact. Now, let's listen back to Dr. Andrea to learn more about her article. These are just a few passages from the Bible. I'm missing one more. I added another document note in this one. Sadly, I have so many PowerPoints for the same presentation, and I opened the wrong one again. But that's okay. If we need that next passage, I will find it for you next time, Lord willing. But here is what Andrea continued to teach in her article.
One of the most significant groups among the sea people who attacked Egypt in the 5th and 8th year of Ramses III is the Philistines. This ethnonym has been identified with the biblical Philistines by Jean-Francois Napoleon soon after his decipherment of the Egyptian hieroglyphics. Now the Philistines settling in the towns Ashdod, Ashkelon, Ekron, and one of the upheavals of the sea peoples.
One of the big, great difference between Andrea and Allah, the God of Muhammad in the Quran, that Andrea can give us names of cities. Andrea can give us locations.
Allah doesn't.
But Allah does not know, because Allah does not know. I believe Andrea is a greater Allah than Allah. In my personal opinion, my humble opinion. Now, we're talking about history of Egypt. If you can prove to me your teaching on any subject by biblical teaching and true history, like Egyptian history, by Paris. Guys, this map we're talking about here, we're going to come up next slide, actually. It is as old as 4,500 years ago. That's long, long time before Muhammad was gleamed in his father's eye. Long, long time before Jibreel, the angel of Muhammad, was invented, or even Allah himself was invented, okay? So now we're talking about the Philistinians who went to Egypt in the time of the great Pharaoh, Ramses III. And I have my own suggestion. I can make it up. You know, I don't have proof of it, but I can make it up, and you can believe it or reject it. It's just a theory. Here's my theory. These people left the cold up north in Europe, They're looking for a better land. Behold, they went in the Mediterranean Sea and they found the big island of Caphtor. But that's not enough. They're looking for a better land, a warmer land. And they were so smart, they were so powerful, they can fight in water, in ships, and on land. So they have the best navy, and they can fight in ships in water. Can you imagine that? That's a long time ago. We're talking about a good 300 years or so before David. That's 200 years after Moses. Notice what happened here. Notice what happened. And this is, I can prove the dates, but I cannot prove what I'm going to be telling you now. And it's my theory. So they will continue to travel in the ship, and they landed on this beautiful Nile coming, dumping in the Mediterranean Sea. And they filled the water. Ooh, sweet water, Nile, okay? The river Nile with sweet and fresh water. So they said, hey, good weather, good land, fresh water, good. I mean, why don't we take this land? Bah, made a mistake. They make a mistake. You know why? Because they went to Egypt in the wrong time. Ramses III is one of the greatest army, military leader, warrior, who have also built the ships, and he can fight with the soldier in land and water, and he literally beat the daylight out of the Philistines. He actually felt so bad for them, so he settles them. Where? Listen to this. Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gaza, Ekron, Gath. These cities don't exist. They are in the promised land today. And it is written in the history of Egypt in the papyrus that after he beat the daylight out of them and made shish kebab out of them, these Palestinians who are coming to attack his country, he felt sorry for them, so he settles them in this land. Wow. The map speaks Coptic. That's the language. And the map told us the truth. That is a great history. Can be supported by the existence of the city, the existence of people, and the biblical account, which is more important than anything else. Follow me so far? Let's see. And obviously, he calls them also the sea people. Here's the map. Can you guys see my, can you see my mouse moving on the map, or you can't?
Yes.
Okay. You see this island here? It's called Caphtor. Whoa. They're coming from Italy, they're coming from the north, cold, I don't know, and maybe it was global cooling then, very cold, look a bit like, and they ended here in the Mediterranean Sea, and they kept traveling, they came to Egypt, and here we go, Egypt the war, and Pharaoh the third, beat the daylight of them, and set them in the cities, here are the cities, you got me guys? We're not making it up. This is not Quran. This is math. This is history. This is geography. This is biblical teaching. This is Sister Andrea, a true historian, not propaganda, as Muslims always do. Here are the sea people. And by the way, they call the sea people because they're all over the sea. They travel all over the sea. And they
that's
have
what the Greeks were known for.
I'm sorry?
I mean, the Greeks, that's what exactly what the Greeks were known for. They were known for that.
Ships and but we don't know actually if they start only in Greece, they maybe start from our north, some other places. And I believe, deep in my heart, I believe if you investigate it, as we have seen, I'm going to show a map here, a slide with the DNA. They were Greece, but I believe they're also German, big guys, big shoulders, big guys. Okay, here we go. Ramses III
fights against the Philistines, both in the sea and in the land battle. In Papyrus Harris, Ramses III claims to have settled the vanquished sea peoples, among which are Philistines, or Philistines, and strongholds found in Spain. This has induced people to assume that the settlement of the Philistines in Canaan took place under Egyptian supervision.
And I call them, these are the sleeping giants. You know, it's in the blood. Fighting is in blood, in the blood. They're mighty people. They were under the supervision of Francis III. Francis III died. Their ancestor died. The new generation, 150, 200 years later, rose up in power. And that's when we have a problem. between the Palestinians and the Jewish people in the days of David when he was a shepherd boy. They are sleeping giant. It is in their blood. You can look like a look at a lion, like a sleeping lion, but it's still a lion. You may be beat him, you may be hurt him, but his baby is also another lion. That's why they have it in their existence.
After their settlement into Palestine, the Philistines rose to a position of power in the region owing to their military superiority over the local population, as exemplified by the famous engagement between David and Goliath.
Just as I said to you earlier, and we're all familiar with 1 Samuel 17:50 as we read,
"So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David."
You have to understand that the Philistines were so powerful, so strong in the land, that they were actually mocking the God of Israel. They mocked the Jews. And they were just playing a game and say, "Hey, bring us anyone from you, we'll fight our Goliath here, okay? If he won, we'll be your slaves. If we won," which obviously Goliath is about to win, big tall guy, "then you become our slave. We're going to have to kill all of you. We love you. We want to keep you as slaves." David heard that, and he said, "Who is this uncircumcised to insult the God of Israel? I will take him. I will take him." And he did. I love it because David did not have a sword. And after he swing his, what do you call the thing, Chris?
Well, there was a sling with a rock, yeah.
The rock. But what do you call the thing? He put the rock inside it.
That's a sling. That's what we're talking about.
He swinged the swing, and the rock hit him in his forehead, and he dropped a little bit dizzy. So David was very nice, said, "Excuse me, can I borrow your sword for a minute?" Sure, he's going to sword. He cut his head off, and that was the end of the story about the existence of that man who was mocking God and the children of Israel. Guys, this is just a quick, you can read articles and articles about that, but I personally believe, as an Egyptian, that the Egyptian history is not a lie. Muhammad is a liar, Allah is a liar, Jibreel is a liar, and we got plenty of evidence to prove that's true, that all this, what is Muslim believe, is a lie. But the truth is that land belongs to the children of Israel, who is the deed from Allah in the Quran and from the God of the Bible, in the Bible. And we know that the original Palestinians were not the same Palestinians who invaded this land after they fought Egypt. Umar ibn al-As fought Egypt, and they took over Egypt in the year 641. And then they added, I love it, they added, they take another piece of land, which is the land of Israel. And that's when the Arab Palestinians came to exist. But before that, there was not but the people of Kafir, the people of the north. And I got another slide. As I said, I opened the wrong presentation. I hope I can find it. Let me see if I can find it while you guys talking. Talk with me for a minute, Christy. Talk. Stay tuned.
I think what you should, later on, I'm hoping you'll send me the link to that article, and I'll send it out to as many social studies teachers as I can. And I think anybody listening, if you have a link, you can share it to that particular article. Great. We should put it in the chat room. I think that article should be sent to this is what I would do. I would actually look for a list of social studies department leaders in your state and send it out.
That's a great idea.
The misinformation that's out there, I don't blame social studies teachers.
I don't blame the textbooks. I don't know myself either. To be honest with you, until I studied this material, I did not know myself. I know something's wrong. For years, I'm struggling with, I know the Palestinians Arab went to that land 641 because that's how it's in Egypt.
I always laugh at it. My understanding is the name Palestine was made to insult the Jews by the Romans.
Yeah.
So when I talk to Muslims and they're talking about Palestine, I ask them if they're claiming to be Jews.
No. But see, the problem.
And they don't like that.
I understand. But the problem is not naming that land Palestinian. It was named after the original Palestinians, not the Arab Palestinians. They have nothing to do with those. If you go to Egypt right now, Father Paul, if you go to Egypt and you meet with Egyptians, There's two different people there, even though we're both born in the same country. There's Copts, which like myself, I'm a Copt, so I am an Egyptian, and there's Arab. Muslims would never call themselves Copt. They said, we're Arab. Excuse me. I thought you're Egyptian. No, I'm not Egyptian. Why? Because they know original Egyptians are the Christians. Arabs, Muslims, are not Copts. They're not Coptic people. See what I'm saying here? So you go to Palestine and you talk to these people and say, we're Arab. Oh, good. I'm glad to know that you're Arab because you're not the original Palestinian. But most people, especially liberal preachers and the Muslims in America, are fighting for the Palestinians, and they will tell you, this is our land and the Jewish people occupy it. Wait a minute. When did he show up in this land? 641. When the Jewish people lived in this land? Oh, 4,000 years ago? Because God told Abraham, literally, 1,800 years before Christ, that he gave him that land. God gave the land to Abraham when he did not have any son. That is 1,800 years before Christ. And now we add 2,000 years. That's 3,800 years. Don't you dare mix up all this information. Palestinian original are from up north. I got a picture. I'm going to show it to you next time. Lord's willing. And it's open the right presentation. Where I show you the DNA proven that the original people of Israel, the original people of Palestine have nothing to do with the Arab DNA. Two different people groups.
Exactly. Yes.
Two different people groups.
That particular research actually came out after that article. After we did the presentation, and then that DNA evidence came out. It was awesome. It was a confirmation.
Four years ago?
Yeah, that's about right.
So I've been teaching about the Paul for a good 18 years before I even found that the DNA evidence that what I'm teaching is true.
Yeah. Well, it was a confirmation of the history that was written by the doctor in her article. Then that information came out to confirm it. So that was awesome.
Oh, you know what's even funnier about this? So this research confirms the Bible's story about who the Philistines are.
Yes, absolutely.
So what they're saying is the Bible is accurate historically.
Absolutely.
Can you do that with the Quran? Absolutely not. Can you prove that Mecca existed?
Well, brother, there's plenty of errors in the Quran. The one of the newest one where we just, I don't want to leave the subject here, because we're going to be only have 20 minutes, less than 20 minutes. But one of the great discovery we have is the discovery of the left of Noah's Ark in Mount Ararat in Turkey. Well, guess what? The Quran stated that that Noah's Ark rested on Mount Judi, which is in north of Saudi Arabia near Iraq. Well, there are two different locations. Well, guess what? Now we got physical evidence that the Bible is right. Noah's Ark is not in Mount Judi, as Allah says in the Quran, but it's in Turkey, in Mount Ararat. So Allah is wrong, Muhammad is wrong, the Quran is wrong, unless somebody carried that boat from Mount Judi and put it in Mount Ararat just to make Allah look stupid.
And it is Mount Ararat in Hebrew. That's the difference. We had been looking at a different mountain for years.
Yeah.
And we didn't look at it in Hebrew. That was the biggest mistake us English people had made.
Brother Paul, as I always said, if you lose the keys in your mother-in-law house, don't look at them in your own house because you will never find them. You need to search for where you lost the keys, okay? That is a problem we have in many people who mock the Bible because they were looking in the wrong places and they never find it. They said, oh, the Bible is wrong. No, you're dead wrong. It's just you looked at the wrong place. Anyway.
Well, we could look for keys for that particular door that we still haven't found.
I know. We need to find the door so we can actually. How about find the location to put the door first, and then I'll make it. All right, let's move on. Let's move on. Maybe a couple more slides as we still have time for our broadcast for tonight. So let's share with you my screen, and here we see. a proper use for the name Palestine instead of Israel. Here we go, our textbooks and continuing with the lies to our children, sadly, in our public schools all over this country. The world, the book is called The World and Its People, McGraw-Hill, Glencoe, 2005, page 453, 509.
If Abraham moved to the land of Canaan,
he was what? Notice here. They put the word, the land of Canaan, outside the bracket, which is, that's a biblical name, that's a right name, land of Canaan, okay? And the word, and they insert the word Palestine between two soft brackets after the word, the land of Canaan. What is wrong with the story? They are trying to squeeze Palestine in Abraham's days. They're trying to say the land of Canaan is actually the land of Palestine. That's what they're trying to say. Now, let's move on to another textbook on the following year. The first one is 2005. Notice here, guys, 2005. Nobody complained. Everything is great. Well, let's go a little bit deeper in 2006. So in that book, we read in pages 45 and 40 and 248. That's where the session will be talking about that. But we read the following.
Israelites formed a branch of Hebrews settled in Palestine, modern-day Israel.
Look, see, the word Palestine is in the text. And then we put between soft brackets the word what? Modern-day Israel. So first, it was the land of Canaan and Palestine between soft brackets. Now, 2006, as a year later, we took the word Canaan out and we put the word Palestine in the text and we just put between two soft brackets the word modern-day Israel. Well, let's go a little bit deeper.
Abraham migrated to Palestine about 1850 BCE. According to their scriptures, some Hebrews migrated from Palestine to Egypt during the 18th century BCE.
That's what happened here, Paul. Now, Abraham
Abraham
went to Palestine. You got
this? This is why the Islamic Council of Education should not be editing your child's textbooks.
They are brainwashing our children. They already brainwashed many of your friends, your teachers in this country.
That's right.
When I showed that to my dear teachers, they could not believe me. They argued with me. I said, no, let me show it to you. In the year 2005, the land was called Canaan. Abraham went to Canaan. 2006, and they put the word Palestine between brackets. And nobody complained. 2006, actually, we made the land that's called Palestine. And to make the Jew happy, we call modern-day Israel. And then in the same textbook, Abraham himself, we go back to Abraham, he migrated to Palestine. So where are you going, Abraham? I'm going to Palestine, man. Why? Because I'm going to take land that does not belong to me. And then he used the word according to. We talked about that last week. According to, maybe that's what they think. That's what they believe. There's no truth in it. According to Paul, he thinks he's a nice-looking guy. He's not nice-looking.
I've read the Bible a lot, and I don't see anywhere where Abraham migrated to Palestine.
Well, but the textbook is more important because our children do not read the Bible anymore. Our children read the textbook, and if we can change their mind about every truth we know from the biblical teaching by the textbook, which that's what they study, they have to pass the test. They have to get an A, so mama and papa be happy. How do you like your son answer these questions wrong and come home with an F in this world history class?
That's part of the issues is the planned answers that you have to give because some of them, the truth is some of them are wrong.
Exactly. Let's move on.
This branch of the Hebrews departed under the leadership of Moses and went to Palestine. These Hebrews, known as the Israelites, fought bitterly with other Hebrews in Palestine and carved out a territory for themselves.
Notice here, in the previous slide, we're talking a big body of material here. In the previous one here, it said here, according to their scriptures, some Hebrews migrated from Palestine to Egypt. Excuse me, I forgot to mention that. The 72 souls. they are Jacob and his children and his grandchildren with their wives and their daughters. Everybody left the land of Canaan and went to Egypt. All of them, not some. And they did not leave Palestine. Go read the story. Go read Joseph. Did Joseph tell Pharaoh, hey, Pharaoh, my dad and his family are coming from Palestine. Can we have them here because they're going to be hungry for next 6 months? No, 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 no. The land of Canaan. Canaan. Now, we know. We know. He says, this branch of the Hebrews departed under the leadership of Moses and went to Palestine. Did Moses left Egypt to go to Palestine? Or the promised land? Even the Quran, we just read the story of the Quran, it did not call it in the Quran the first thing. In the Quran it's called Holy Land. In the Bible it's called Promised Land, which is the land of Canaan. And we know the original people who lived in it. And listen to this. These Hebrews, known as the Israelites, fought bitterly with other inhabitants of Palestine. No, they did not fight one Palestinian, because there was no Palestinian when Joshua went to the Promised Land.
That's right.
Yes, that's exactly right.
And carved out a territory for himself. No, where's God in that? Where's God in that? It's like all made up by Moses and his people. They just decided to do it.
This breath.
What am I going to get here? We're going to stop here. We're going to stop here. Slide 43, Sister Christy. If you can remind me.
Yeah.
Next time, Lord's willing, slide 43 to continue with our study. Because I don't have enough time to get into it. And it's going to get deeper and deeper. And then, Lord's willing, next week, after we finish that session, we're going to go to the search session, which I'm going to teach you about modern wars, modern days wars, 1948, 1967. 1973. These three wars. I studied that in Egypt. And the history the Muslims teach me in Egypt is the opposite of the history Muslims teach the students, our children, and our grandchildren in our public schools in America. They are brainwashing them with hogwash history. I wish they could teach our children in America the same textbooks which they teach the Muslims of Egypt about the neighboring country, the Palestinians. But trust me, it will make a huge difference on the life and the future of this great country, America. As I said last week, it's very important. We're going to emphasize on the first three lines, and then we're going to move fast after that. Because on that subject alone, the curse of God or the blessing of God will be on this country. Let me say it again. It's very clear. It's very clear. The Bible says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. You want to be blessed, America? You have to stand up with Israel. You want to be cursed, America? Give the Muslims your textbooks, because they will make your own children hate the Jew, and your senator and your congressman, especially the new one coming up to power now, they will be the ones who will turn this country back against Israel, and then the curse of God will be on America, right and left, right and left. You may call it Muslim nature. I call this Father God. It's like fire, like earthquake, like hurricane, like flood, like whatever you think, disaster, I call it the hand of God, because God is in control of everything happening in the air and on earth. Comment or questions, guys? Comment or questions?
Well, I have one comment, and it's about other ways in which these false teachings have been entering into the universities. It started there really bad, and this is why you see, like, on campuses like the University of California at UC Davis, where literally the college students call for the killing of Jewish people in general, and have done a huge amount of financial support for the Palestinians, and they want Israel destroyed. I mean, we've seen the videos of these students. So it started in the universities. Now we're talking about down in our elementary school levels.
Mm-hmm.
Pitiful.
Mm-hmm. Brother Paul, one last minute, brother, if you want to share something quickly. I know.
I think the best thing that anyone listening can do that's in the United States is petition their state government today. Work on it. If you need help, call me. I'm willing to work with you. And you want to write a law that requires the textbook companies in your state to clean up and replace the textbooks with errors. That's one of the first steps we can do.
I told Christy last week to remind me this week to say about why these textbooks will never change, but I'll leave that for next week. So Christy,
yes.
Remind me next week, why do I say that these textbooks will never change, but it will even get worse and worse as we go?
I'll remind you, we have to bring that up first thing.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We'll do our best to get to why we have a problem in America. Guys, I believe it's time for us to be educated because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And nothing wrong about you get into your children. I'm glad what happened last year that some parents now are looking on to what in the world are they teaching our children in our Bible school concerning sex, education, concerning hatred to America. Now, that's these lies we're going to be covering. We're still in line number one.
Yeah.
Or actually, we'll move to line number two now. We got 13 more lies. It will blow your mind about what our children are learning in our Bible school. But our time is up. Appreciate you guys so much. Do not go anywhere if you're watching this right now live, or if you're going to be... if you're watching it later, do not miss the last 3 minutes. It is the most important 3 minutes because, believe it or not, you can have all the knowledge in your head about every subject we talk about, but if you do not have Christ in your heart, you will die losing everything you know. So, very important to get to this. And please, ring the bell, like us, share this video with others. Feel free to upload it in your channel and use it however you wish. Get the news out. And God bless you all. We'll see you next Sunday, next Saturday, Lord's willing, at 9 o'clock Central Time, where we chat a little bit for the first 10 minutes or so before the show starts. God bless you all. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Christy. And you guys have a wonderful good night.
Thanks, Yusama. Thanks, Paul.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now, perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity. Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam.